Well, good morning, beloved. What a blessing and thrill it is to be here with you today. As you have been anticipating, Kathy and I have been anticipating getting here and being here, so we're here. And what a gift of grace it is. And so I know we met many of you in the reception, and so we're just thrilled to be here. And thank you for this first worship together. Thank you to Kathy and the choir and all of our folks on staff. We've had a good beginning already. This morning we had a full early service with the youth. We had a very special weekend. And so thank you to Rob and Adam and Jesse and all those who have worked so hard to make the life of our church and ministry unfold before us. So thank you so much. So it is a great gift of grace that we're here, and I would ask that we pause and listen to the silence for just a few moments, and may we pray briefly. Let us pray. O great God of grace and glory, you have gathered us as your people, and in and through Christ we are your beloved ones. And so may we soak in your presence and power this morning as you allow us to be enveloped in grace and glory, that we may glorify you. And so come, Holy Spirit, come. Be in my speaking, be in our listening, be in our total response of life and faith to you. For this we pray in the name of Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, about every other year or so, Kathy and I plan a trip somewhere on our travel wish list. And we have quite a list, and we've been fortunate to travel a lot of different places, but last year, we were fortunate enough to travel to Jackson Hole, Wyoming. I had been out there before and had seen the Grand Tetons. We had not been there together. And so we wanted a place where we could soak in the beauty of God's creation and feel maybe inspired by being in that place. And so we traveled out there, and sure enough, the Grand Tetons, if you've been there, you know they did not disappoint. I have a picture here, and I know you all can't see this. You can probably see the blue sky. If you come to my office, you'll see this. I know the choir can maybe see it. When you go to an inspiring place like that, and you're just in awe of God's creation, and maybe even feel the presence of God in a special way, somehow that begins to live in your soul. So it's lived in our memories and in our soul. And so to be there was genuinely awe-inspiring. Today, even as I look at this picture, it was as though you couldn't tell where heaven ended and earth began. And it was just this very special place. I call it a moment or a place or a time where we were able to catch a glimpse of glory. We all need glimpses of glory in our journey, all of us. We need those moments and experiences where we are swept up in beauty and majesty, in splendor and in awe. We need those glimpses of glory to remind us that even though as human beings we may be small and limited, God is big. God is large. God is unlimited. And we are surrounded at all times in the presence, the mystery, the majesty of God at every moment. It's all around us in creation. It's with us as we gather in community in the name of Christ, just as Christ promised. And so we all need glimpses of glory, those experiences of God's divine presence that are indelible moments of grace that feed the soul and that sustain us in our journey. So if I were to describe what happened in this episode, this moment on the Mount of Transfiguration, that's how I would describe it. A glimpse of glory. You see, Jesus gathered his innermost circle of disciples and took them up on the mountaintop. And it's a preview of what is to come. It's a snapshot, it's a picture of Jesus in his fully glorified state, post-resurrection. It's interesting that I'm not sure the disciples really comprehended that. In their journey with Jesus, as we heard, as Bob read the scripture, the disciples were traveling along and then they turned their faces toward Jerusalem. They moved from Jericho to Jerusalem and Jesus predicted it. Jesus said, "Now, we're about to travel to Jerusalem and I will be denied. I will be humiliated, arrested and humiliated and beaten, and I will die a sacrificial death. Utter self-sacrifice. Utter self-giving on a cross." I don't think the disciples could even imagine that. So in these moments when Jesus was describing the journey that was about to unfold before them, they were having conversation. Jesus says, "Who do people say that I am?" And they said, "Well, some people think that you're a prophet. Some people think you're the Messiah. Who do you say I am?" And Peter spoke up, "Oh, you're the Christ." A great affirmation. But then Jesus said, "Now, you must understand the journey goes on. I will go on to Jerusalem. And beyond that to a hill called Calvary. And there you will see me suffer and die. And on the third day rise again." They couldn't really comprehend it. And so Jesus took the inner circle. And he took them up on the mountaintop. And it says, Jesus was praying. And he became illuminated. He began to glow with light in an awesome way. I always get a little bit tickled about the disciples. Did you notice? There's a theme in the Gospels. The disciples are up on the mountaintop. This grandeur, Jesus is glowing with light, and they're sleepy. They're sleepy, the disciples. Sometimes we are sleepy. We're non-attentive. You may be sleepy this morning. If you fall asleep, that's okay. There's grace. If you take a little nap, there's grace in that too. And so there on the mountaintop, the glory of God is revealed in Jesus. It's a picture, it's a preview of what is to come, the resurrected Jesus. I call it a wow moment. Everybody say, wow.
Wow.
Hey, that's pretty good. It's a wow moment. Inspiration. Have you ever found yourself longing for inspiration? That's why we travel to the Grand Tetons. I needed a little inspiration. And so there the disciples are witnessing something extraordinary, this unique epiphany, this wow moment. Moses and Elijah join Jesus and they're having conversation that represents the law and the prophets. They decide, hey, this is pretty neat. We may want to build some tabernacles, some booths, and hang out here a while. A cloud of the divine presence envelops them, and the voice of God the Father speaks, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Do you know what that's an echo of? Jesus' baptism. Jesus' baptism. "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." And so it's a glimpse of glory. It's an awe-inspiring moment. It's a preview of the resurrected, glorified Christ. It's inspiration. And so, in this wow moment, the disciples are caught up in the mystery and the majesty and the awesomeness of God. It's a glimpse of glory. What's interesting about that is that glory has a history. Do you know that the word glory is mentioned in the Bible 371 times? Be interesting to go to a concordance and do a study of the word glory. It means the divine presence. It runs from cover to cover. The glory of God is revealed. All the way from creation, moving to the children of Israel in their exodus, as they were wandering around out in the wilderness, Moses on the mountaintop, the glory of God is there. Psalm 19 sings of it. The heavens declare the glory of the Lord. It fills those temporary tent meetings, the tabernacle out in the wilderness. The glory of God comes to rest in the tabernacle and then later in the temple, the magnificent temple in Jerusalem. But you know, the glory of God is not guaranteed. Ezekiel 10 says, it describes the glory of God withdrawing from the temple. And we can't live without the glory of God. And so what's interesting is, if you go to the New Testament in the birth stories, guess what? Glory reappears with the birth of Jesus. The birth story is bathed in the glory of God. That's telling us something. The glory of God is back in Jesus. And so that's really the point of this story that's revealed first to the inner circle of disciples and to us, is that the glory of God comes to rest in Jesus. Do you know that the glory of God is looking for a home? All through the Bible, from cover to cover, the glory of God is searching, looking for a dwelling place. It may be a person, it may be a place, it may be a gathering. We've gathered in the name of Jesus. The glory of God is looking for a dwelling place, a home. And the glory of God finds it in Jesus. And so when we see Jesus, we glimpse the glory of God. And it's awe-inspiring. It's awesome. And we come to life. We are enveloped, swept up in the glory of God. What an awesome gift of grace. And so it is in the presence of Jesus that we become enveloped in the grace and glory of God. We need glimpses of glory. We need those moments of revelation that tell us who God is. That God is here, but yet God is larger. God is mysterious. God is dynamic. God is at work for good. We need those moments and experiences that are those indelible gifts of grace that shape our soul and that guide our journey. We need those glimpses of grace in good times and in bad times when we may feel our smallness and our limitedness, but yet God is large and unlimited. We need glimpses of grace and glory. And so we need inspiration. And thank God, God provides it in our journey. When a doctor pronounces a word that we try to avoid, malignant, we need a glimpse of glory. When the telephone rings with news of the death of a loved one, a beloved person, a friend, a family member, a neighbor, whoever it may be, we need a glimpse of glory. When the company calls you in and says, "We are downsizing and your job is being eliminated as of this date and your world is turned upside down," we need a glimpse of glory. When your daughter comes home from college and has a tattoo and a piercing, we need a glimpse of glory. When your son comes home from college with a degree but moves into the basement, you need a glimpse of glory. When spouses finally acknowledge the death of a marriage, you need a glimpse of glory. When you walk away from a grave that seems to hold your whole world and a large portion of your hope, we need a glimpse of glory. We all need glimpses of glory. So here's the good news. Here's the good news I want you to take with you and carry with you every day. You don't have to go to the Grand Tetons, although I'd like to go back. You don't even have to ascend the mountaintop. The mountain will come to you. The mountain will come to us. The good news of our God of grace is that as individuals, as people who open our hearts to God, as a community who gathers and opens our life to the life of God, in our journey with Jesus, the transfiguration comes near and we are caught up. We are swept up in the life of God and its glory. But that's not the end of the journey. You remember Jesus, the choir sang about it. Jesus said, "Come and follow me." And in this prediction before they went to the mountaintop, he said, and by the way, you must pick up your cross and follow me. So the gruesome death that Jesus dies, the self-sacrifice, the utter self-giving, he invites us to share in the life of God and to imitate that. Discipleship is cruciform. It imitates Jesus. But the good news is that as we follow Jesus, as we utterly give ourselves, we pour ourselves out as Jesus did, the rest of that story, the completion of the story, is that God envelops us in grace and glory to the point that we are enabled to reflect the likeness of Christ in the world. We move from glory to glorification. We begin to reflect the character of God revealed in Jesus. So it's not just little glimpses of glory. It's a whole journey where we're drawn into the life of God through Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit and the awesomeness of God. And we get to reflect who God is, even us, by the grace of God. Athanasius was an early Christian theologian, and he says it so well. He says, "May we become by grace who God is by character." God reveals the glory. The Holy Spirit pours the life of God into us, and by the grace of God, we get to glorify God. We get to reflect who God is. May we become by grace who God is by character. And so we move from glory to glorification. But we follow Jesus, and the path is one of utter self-giving to reflect the character of God, all for the glorification of God. And so he invites us on that journey. Thomas Merton, you may be familiar with him, a Trappist monk. He was from Gethsemane, just over into Kentucky, and for most of the years of my ministry, over 35 years, the large majority of them, I've gone there for retreat. And Father Thomas Merton once visited the Shakers, who make the very simple but yet beautiful furniture. And this is what he said. "The particular grace and beauty of Shaker furniture is due to the fact it was made by someone continually saying to himself or herself, 'For the glory of God.'" You see, when we are enveloped by the glory of God and we move toward glorification of God, everything we are and everything we do by the power of the Spirit may reflect who God is and give praise to God for the glory of God. Do you remember that Bach signed each piece of his music "Ad Gloriam Dei," for the glory of God? And so if there is any hope or prayer or wish or thought or aspiration that I have as your new pastor for us together in ministry as we share our life and faith and our journey, it is that. That we will be enveloped in the glory of God so that the transformation may come where we begin to glorify God in all that we are and all that we do. We get caught up in the life of God, and it's glorious. So that is my hope, that is my prayer, that is my aspiration for us. To God be the glory. So we move from glimpses of glory to glorification. May it be so for us. Amen. Amen. Amen.